I'd like to start by reading a psalm. Psalm 46. It's page 718 in my Bible. Psalm 46, the chief musician of the sons of Korah, on Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a help in distresses very readily found. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and foam, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the sanctuary of the habitations of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at the dawn of the morning. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our high fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of Jehovah, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He hath made wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our high fortress. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this to your attention is because it really is a wonderful psalm. And it speaks of a few things that I really have on my heart to speak to you tonight of. And it starts off with God is our refuge. And you look around, you know, and maybe you're like me, maybe you're not. And you read the news and you get worried about what's happening. You can see this country, you can be worried about what's happening in the government. You look around, you see wars happening in other countries, needless wars, people dying needlessly. Things that are happening that we feel completely, completely helpless in the face of what's happening. Global matters that could very much worry and trouble your soul. But I wanted to read Psalm 46, and it's been on my mind this week because it speaks of a number of things that would encourage. And I wanted to encourage because the message of the gospel is one of encouragement, that there is something beyond us, and that there is something that is fulfilling, and there is a wonderful promise of love, and there is a wonderful availability of salvation at the cross. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to start with a simple truth that God is our refuge and strength, a help in distresses very readily found. What a wonderful thing, you know, that we can speak of our Lord and Saviour Jesus and know that he is very readily found. But it starts, you know, dear friend, with knowing that God exists. That it says, you know, elsewhere that the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom. I want you to know that God exists, dear friend, and he loves you. And I'll tell you how he loves you. But we need to start, you know, that he exists and he is a refuge. And amongst all of this worry and anxiety that might affect you, I'm sure it affects everyone here, affects me as well, that we can look to God and know that there is a refuge, a place that you can go when you're in distress, and he's very readily found. And I wanted to speak about that because this is a wonderful psalm, and it speaks of the exercise of what happened to the children of Israel. And it speaks of wonderful things. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the heart of the seas. You think about that, the imagery of that. It speaks of big mountains and then the seas swallowing them up. And sometimes I wonder, do you feel that distress in your heart when you look around and you can be so dismayed at what's happening either around you or in your life? And I want you to know that there is a refuge. There is a place that you can go to with all of your fears and all of your worries, and know there is a refuge to be found in Jesus. That's what I wanted to start. And it speaks, you know, of the power of Jehovah. I don't want to go too much into that because it speaks of what the children of Israel felt and experienced, knowing that God was with them. And I want to ask you, dear friend, do you know that God is with you? Do you feel that he is near? Because there is a wonderful opportunity, you know, in the gospel to know that Jesus is near. And he is the Son of God, and he was living, and he came down on this earth, and he walked amongst men, Son of God, perfect in everything. And he died, and he shed his precious blood for you and for me. What a wonderful promise that is. But then there is this one last thing that I wanted to dwell on this, and it just says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Do you feel the stillness in your soul, dear friend? The stillness of peace in the presence of the Father? If you don't, that's why the gospel is here. It's to remind you that the peace is on offer, and it's freely on offer for you and for anyone that would hear it. What a wonderful free offer of peace. Peace to the soul. Be still and know that I am God. And to be honest, that's all I wanted to say on Psalm 46. It's a wonderful psalm, and I would recommend you read it again. It helps me very much. But I'd like to also look at the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7. It's on page 1154 in my Bible. And these are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, and starting from verse 24. Whoever, therefore, hears these my words and does them, I will liken him to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew and fell upon that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these my words and does not do them, he shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and its fall was great. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as having authority, and not as their scribes. I wanted to speak, you know, about these two houses, because it links with my thought as God is our rock. The thing I find, you know, when I read this, is we can all imagine a house. Everyone can imagine a house. We all live in a house. So in your mind, you can imagine what a house should look like and what it should be to you. And it should be a place of safety. And it speaks about these two houses. And the most interesting thing, you know, I think about these two houses is they both experience the same thing. They both experience this rain and the streams and the winds. Do you feel in your life that you've experienced these things? I can only speak from my own experience, you know, that it's in times of difficulty when you realize that so much of what you rely on can be stripped away. Are you relying on yourself, dear friend? Are you relying on wealth or property or family or things that you can look around and go, this is my security? Or are you looking to the one Jesus? It speaks, you know, in scripture of Jesus is our rock. And there's so many other scriptures that point to Jesus and speaks of him as the rock. But I wanted to speak of this example because these are Jesus' own words. And they speak, you know, of what's on offer in the gospel. The peace and security of knowing your foundations are on Christ. And it speaks of your need, dear friend, your need of salvation, because your foundation needs to be on the rock. It needs to be in Jesus, because there is no other security in this world that can guarantee your future in eternity. I want you to know, dear friend, that this is a wonderful promise. That there are these two houses, and you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity in the gospel to put your faith and trust in Jesus and know that your future, your eternal soul, is secure and safe with him. And that's why I'd like to speak about this house upon the sand. Because, you know, that's where we all start. There's a moment when I'm sure every single person realizes they've come to an end of themselves, that there's no more that left that they can offer, that they've run out. I want to speak to you of someone, of the one Jesus, the man Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect man who can never run out, who is always strong when you feel weak, who is always powerful when you feel powerless, and who has offered you so much love that you couldn't possibly imagine. And this house on the sand speaks of that need, that you need something, that there is something in your soul that's crying out for stability, to know that there is something unchanging in an ever-changing world. Do you have the safety and security of knowing your faith and trust is with Jesus and in none other? You know, it speaks of after this weather hit this house, it says it fell, and its fall was great. Mm. What a terrible warning, you know, that there is only, it says, you know, that in the scriptures it speaks that there is no difference, for all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The fall of man is well documented in Genesis. We see it all the way through the Bible. And you don't even need to look in the Bible to know that man has fallen. Just look in your own heart and you will see that there is evidence that we are so far from God in our own natures, and there is nothing that you or I can do to save that or prevent it or stop it or fix it. There is a great chasm fixed between you and God. But that's not God's mind. No. Because we have a loving God, a wonderful God, a God who loves you so very much that he would send his only beloved son to die for you, to give up his precious blood for you, that you could have a calm assurance to know that your sins have been forgiven at the cross. Hmm. Do you know that, dear friend? That Jesus died for you. Greater love hath no man than this, than one should lay down his life for his friends. Hmm. The reason I say that is because when it comes to love, we can be very nebulous. Love is doing. Love is showing someone how much you care about them. And the scriptures are very clear that there is one who loves you so very much that he died for you. Know that love in your heart, dear friend, that God wants you. He wants you so much that he gave his only son and went a horrible, horrible death and died for you. Put your faith and trust in the one who loves you so very much. And then we have this example of the rock. And it's a wonderful example because I know it in my own heart that in times of extremity, when everything feels like it's been washed away, we can rely on the one, our Lord and Saviour Jesus, to be our ever-present, wonderful, loving Saviour, who we're able to go to in times of distress, who we're able to pray to in times of need, who we're able to put our faith and trust in when everything else seems so faithless. Know that there is an opportunity in the gospel to put your faith and trust in the one who is unchanging and remains the same. For now, he was the same as he was back then. He's the same now and he'll be the same in eternity. The one who's given his life to secure you because he loves you so very much. That's a wonderful opportunity that the gospel speaks of. I'd like to read in Hebrews. And it's something that I was reminded of in the reading. It's in Hebrews 6. Page 1452, 1452 in my Bible. And it says in Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll start from verse 17, wherein God, willing to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, intervened by an oath that by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible that God should lie, we might have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and entering into that within the veil where Jesus is, entered as forerunner for us, become forever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now I know this sounds really quite complicated, but it is really simple. It's a wonderful scripture because it says one thing to start everything off, that God cannot lie. There's a promise made between God and man. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, we might have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Those are those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. That there is a promise, not just that we've had our sins forgiven, but we have something that's, we have Jesus as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm. That's the start of the promise. That when you put your faith and trust in him, it can never be taken away. No one can rob you of your salvation. Know assuredly that if you put your faith and trust in him, that can never be changed. And you're with Jesus for eternity. What a wonderful thing. And then it says, entering into that within the veil where Jesus is, entered as forerunner for us. Again, you might say this is an interesting thought. What is this veil? It's fairly simple, I think. I'm sure others might correct me, but as I understand it, this speaks of of the holy place where God dwells. In the old order of things, you had the children of Israel, and you had the Holy of Holies, a place where only the priest could enter in, only the high priest could enter in. And it says here, entering into that within the veil where Jesus is, entered as forerunner. You know, that means that when Jesus went into death, he broke so many things, not just the power of death, but there was a barrier between God and man. It was represented by the veil of the temple that was a barrier, a physical barrier, between where God dwells and where man could be. And it says here that Jesus has entered in as forerunner. He's gone in before us. Why? For us. That's why. He's gone in for us. What a wonderful thing that we can speak to Jesus. We can pray to him as risen and ascended, as living. But he's entered into that holy place where God dwells. Why? Because he's able. And he's able to bring to God everything that we bring to him. He's entered in. The thought of priesthood is a wonderful one, because it speaks of interceding, of bringing the thoughts of the people that they're responsible for into the presence of God. And that's where Jesus has gone for you and for me. If you put your faith and trust in him, there's this wonderful promise that when we speak to Jesus, we're speaking to God. What a wonderful thing that was God's mind, that we would have a relationship with him. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful blessing is seen at the cross for those who have put their faith and trust in him. And then it says, become forever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And again, this was mentioned in the reading, and it's a really interesting thought. I'm sure others can say more. But the thought of the order of Melchizedek is a simple one. It speaks of a king and a priest, one who is forever. And when we look at Jesus and we see what he has done, we see that he has broken death. He's gone into death. He's broken the power of death. He's raised and risen triumphant. And we see that he can be king. He is king. Do you accept him as king? That's the only barrier, you know. Do you need to accept the work that's been done at the cross? Accept Jesus for who he is. Put your faith and trust in him. And you can have a king. A king and a high priest forever. Unchangeable. Permanent. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful blessing has been accomplished at the cross. That's my simple thought on this. That Hebrews speaks of something so utterly wonderful. I don't think anyone can fully understand exactly what was in mind. But we can get a fresh sense, dear hearer, of what God has in mind that we can enter into. If you put your faith and trust in him, that there is something that's eternal, that goes beyond time, that we can know the one Jesus as high priest, to know him as your Saviour and mine. And then finally, just one last scripture. And this is in 1 Peter in chapter 2, page 1470 in my Bible. We'll start with verse 4. To whom coming, a living stone, cast away indeed as worthless by men, but with God chosen, precious yourselves also, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, because it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. To you therefore who believe is the preciousness, but to the disobedient, the stone which the builders cast away is worthless. This has become head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, and rock of offence, who stumble at the word, being disobedient, to which also they have been appointed. But ye are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation. That ye are people for a possession, that ye might set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his wonderful light, who once were not a people, but now God's people, who were not enjoying mercy, but now have found mercy. I wanted to speak about this because I wanted to speak more of the blessing. Because I think, you know, there's a wonderful hope of having your sins forgiven. And it does help. It really does. But there's something beyond. There's something beyond that Jesus has in mind for you. Well, this speaks of the promise of something eternal. And going back to the thought of a house, we can all imagine a house. But then we have another view, a living stone. Stone is something that's permanent. It stays the same. A living stone. It's a difficult thought to get your head around. But you think of Jesus, you know, someone eternal, changeless, but one who gives life, brings life, is life. The one who you draw upon, that gives us life to our souls. Cast away indeed is worthless by man. Don't be the one who casts away Jesus. The gospel is a serious matter. It involves the responsibility of those that would speak it, but also those that would hear it, not to reject Jesus, but to accept him for who he is and what he has done for you and for me. But then, with God chosen, precious yourselves also. I want you to know that you have a value to God. You have an immense value, and God wants you. Jesus wants you. And it says here, as living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Think about that. What a wondrous thing, you know. That you can be a part of that eternal structure. To be a part of that thing that will last forever. And it says what it's for. A holy priesthood. That's you and me. If you accept the gospel, that's you and me. That we can be a part of that priesthood, that we can have access to God. What a wonderful promise. And then it says, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought that is. That we can offer something that's pleasing to God, not through what we've done, not through what I've done or what I can do, but by Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. That's how we offer what is acceptable to God. It's through Jesus. And then it says, a cornerstone, elect, precious. You know, the cornerstone, so many people have said it, and it's true, I'm sure, that the cornerstone is what gives the characteristic to that building, what every other stone takes its measure from. Elect, precious. Is Jesus precious to you? And then it says, and another warning, the builder cast away is worthless, head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and rock of offense, who stumble at the word being disobedient. What a warning, dear friend. Don't be stumbled by Jesus. No. Know his love. Know his wonderful promises in your heart. Know that he loves you and wants you for himself, for a wonderful habitation. And know that you have a promise, an eternal place in heaven. What a wonderful thing is on offer in the gospel. And then it says, called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. His wonderful light. Who once were not a people, but now, God's people. What a wonderful thought. I would encourage you, dear friend, there is a wonderful people out there, God's chosen people. Be a part of it, because you can choose to be a part of it. Put your faith and trust in him, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.